Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Nicole Forsythe. She's the president and CEO of Red Rover. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. And I took a peek at the website this morning, redrover.org. And I love the statement right there on your homepage, bringing animals and their people from crisis to care. Red Rover helps animals rescued from disasters or neglect, domestic violence victims seeking safety with their pets, and animals with life-threatening illnesses using innovative solutions to prevent cruelty. Yeah, that's it in a nutshell, Nicole. But just in case someone's not familiar with Red Rover, please tell us all about the programs you offer.
Well, as you said, we're all there to really help animals in crisis, especially when people and animals are in crisis together.
Sure.
So it could be a natural disaster. We know people won't leave if they can't bring their pets with them. So there to make sure those pets can be sheltered while they get their own, you know, services that they need. But it might be domestic violence. So that we also know that women and other victims of domestic abuse won't leave if they can't bring their pets with them.
Right.
So we're really trying to find out, you know, where are those places where the bond between people and pets are so critical to them.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a veterinary emergency where they can't afford emergency vet care. Anytime where they're in crisis, that's our specialty. But we are also trying to prevent neglect and abuse and cruelty in the first place by offering a program in schools for kids to help them develop empathy for people and animals.
I love that. Yeah, that's the Raja program, right?
Raja's a big part of it, yes.
We'll touch on that a little bit later. But one of the reasons I'm so glad you're here this morning is October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Red Rover has some tremendous domestic violence assistance programs.
Yeah, so one of the things that we started helping when domestic violence victims wouldn't leave if they couldn't bring their pets with them, and we were offering grants for them to get temporary boarding in a boarding facility, and we were doing that for several years, and all of a sudden we started to get, you know, more and more cases as word got out there that we were doing this. It was really expensive to provide boarding in a boarding facility for up to 90 days, as
right.
you can imagine. It's
not
a very sustainable program. So we thought, well, why don't the domestic violence shelters house the pets there? You know, how big of an issue is this? So we started to look into it, and, you know, the fire really got lit under me when I learned that it's not only that they won't leave, but the pets are used in the abuse. They are part of the control and manipulation.
Right.
And when I thought about that and my bond with my pets, the idea that someone would use my bond, this vulnerable, open relationship, that someone would use that against me,
you can walk out that door, and when you come back, your dog may or may not be here.
Yeah, it was just heartbreaking to think of that special bond that here I am in an organization trying to promote this bond, and to realize that there's people using that against someone. It really broke my heart, and ever since then, we've been really focusing this program. So we still offer the grants for people when they just need to get out of their situation quickly. They need to go to a boarding facility. It's kind of the best option in an emergency. And so we work with domestic violence shelters and those who are advocating for the survivors, the victims, to get them boarding for their pets.
Sure.
But then we also offer grants for the domestic violence shelters themselves so that they can offer services, build facilities on site for pets, because we know most cases keeping them with their pets is going to be better for their long-term healing for both of them.
I was just thinking the same thing too, because these people are being removed from their homes and to be obviously separated from their spouse. They would love to have their animals with them, but a lot of times, like you said, the only option in the past was to split them up and have the dogs in a facility, that kind of thing. So what you guys are doing is so important to try to keep the animals and the families together.
Right. And we found out through our research, we have a database, too, where we track all of the domestic violence shelters and what they do offer people who have pets. And that website's called safeplaceforpets.org. And as we look at the data on this website, which we are in the process of completely updating, which is going to be great, only 10% of domestic violence shelters have pets on site.
So
we know it's a huge issue. And we also know that up to 50% of women won't leave because of the pet. And we also know that a vast majority of these cases, the pets are being used in their abuse. They're being threatened. They're being threatened to either get rid of the pets or not take care of them properly if they leave. So definitely a big concern. And as we get out the outreach to these domestic violence shelters, they get it. And they just really needed some handholding to, you know, how do I do this? What about allergies? What about this? What about that? We have a solution to every question and problem that they come up with. And there's also great community partners partners they can build. So we help them connect to animal shelters, connect to veterinarians. That way, if they can't have them on site, they have some really good resources to make sure they're taken care of.
And that website again, safeplaceforpets.org?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Now, like you said, I mean, that's just so crucial. When someone is in a domestic violence situation, they need to leave right away. They won't leave because they're not going to leave their animals.
Yeah, another really exciting thing that we started to do, too, is because we have our responders program, Red River Responders, which helps shelter animals during natural disasters and other kinds of cruelty cases, we discovered that we could use our volunteers also to help build these facilities for pets. Mm-hmm. So we were just recently in Maine working with another group called Rescue Rebuild that has the construction expertise for how to do these and build projects. And then our volunteers get together with Rescue Rebuild and we offer the grant. So between our kind of leverage all of our programs together, we're able to literally go there and help them build the facility, which is a great, you know, really feel good volunteer opportunity.
Right. And you mentioned that you were working in Maine, too. And that's what I love about the Red Rover program is you guys are a national organization, but you're based right here in Sacramento.
That's right. And we were excited to do this project in Maine because it was one of our states that we had a goal that by 2020, every single state in the United States was going to have at least one pet-friendly shelter. We have five left, and Maine was the sixth. So Maine, we got to check it off, and it was our 100th grant. So we've given over 100 now safe housing grants for these domestic violence shelters to become pet friendly.
And that leads me right to my next question. Which are the states that are left that do not have pet friendly domestic violence shelters?
Yes. Mississippi, West Virginia, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Hawaii. So we have word that three of those are pretty close. So that's exciting. And so we're pretty confident that we'll meet our goal by 2020.
Nice. And if you need any help with that Hawaii one, I'm ready to go.
Surprisingly, we get a lot of offers for that.
I'm not the first one to volunteer for that. Okay. Sweet. Do you have anything special planned for Domestic Violence Awareness Month?
Yeah. So we've been working with Purina. They're a huge supporter of this concept of trying to get domestic violence victims and their pets safely together out of their situations. So with them, we are doing a Take the Lead challenge. This is really to help us promote what's called the Purple Leash Project. And the Purple Leash Project is all about this trying to get survivors out with their pets.
I've got mine right here. Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And that purple leash is really a visible symbol of that invisible struggle between domestic violence victims and their pets and that inability to leave, the invisibility of the abuse that people often don't even know is happening, and the symbol of being able to take that journey away from their abuse to heal together. So on there where it says the walk, heal together, that is part of that journey to heal together. And so the Take the Lead challenge is super simple. People just need to take a picture of themselves with their pet, tag Red Rover, tag Purina, use the hashtag Purple Leash Project. And it is a great way to share awareness about this issue. A lot of people don't realize it. And then once they think about it, it's like the light bulb goes off. They get it pretty quickly. So it's about building awareness, making sure people know that there's resources for them out there if they need to leave their abusive relationship. So, and then challenge your friends to do the same. And it's a massive social media campaign. Purina has enlisted some influencers, some celebrities to help us get the word out. So we're very grateful for that relationship.
Where can we go to learn more about the Purple Leash Project, Nicole?
PurpleLeashProject.com is the website that Purina has set up for this project. It's a great place to learn the statistics and, you know, learn how people can help. And it connects to the Red Rover site where people can actually get a leash. So people can get a leash if they become a monthly donor for $5 a month. It's a great way to take the lead in a big way by actually having a leash that's purple and branded. And it's a nice conversation starter.
It's beautiful, too. Tell me about some special events you have coming up, Nicole.
Well, the big one that we're starting to gear up for is Giving Tuesday, and that's December 3rd. And Giving Tuesday is a wonderful opportunity to kind of give back after we've had the fun shopping of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Giving Tuesday is to follow that, and it's a way for people to really donate to the cause that they feel most passionate about. So if the listeners out there are passionate about helping animals in crisis, I invite them to help us on this day, this Giving Tuesday day. And you can start by joining us now on social media, subscribe to our email so that you can learn how you can help on this really special day.
And I don't have to wait till Giving Tuesday. Say I want to make a donation right now. Where can I go to do that, Nicole?
Yeah, redrover.org. And you'll see all sorts of great ways to get involved, either volunteering or donating.
Excellent. And as I mentioned, you guys are based here in Sacramento, but you are a national program. Do you have any current volunteer or training opportunities?
Yes. So we've got a great program coming up with the Sacramento SPCA, actually for educators and parents who want to learn more about how humane education, where kids are learning about animals, can also help them develop social and emotional learning skills. So we're doing a workshop at the Sacramento SPCA on November 8th. So people can go to redrover.org/events to learn more about that event. We also, on January 14th, will be starting another online training for educators, teachers, educators, humane educators, for how to use our Red Rover Readers program in classrooms. And that is the program that helps kids really understand animal behavior, learn to take their perspective, and, you know, work on those steps that they need to do to develop empathy.
Sure. That's what I wanted to bring up next, too. Tell me all about the Red Rover Readers program.
Yeah, so it's kind of a unique program. We train teachers how to use these special books that highlight the human-animal bond to help kids develop understanding and empathy for animals. But it's a bit unique because we really are targeting empathy specifically. And we know what the steps to empathy are. People have to be able to share an emotional state. They have to be able to, you know, kind of imagine what it's like to be that person or that animal. And then they have to regulate their emotions enough to be able to kind of stay in that state. It's kind of the emotion regulation is the trickiest part, because sometimes people get overwhelmed if they're absorbing too many emotions. So trying to regulate that and be in the moment is a constant struggle for probably everybody.
Sure.
But that's what we help the kids do. And animals are a great way to practice that, because kids' relationships with animals are often the first relationship they have any control over. So working on that early relationship can be a great foundation for friendships, you know, relationships throughout their future.
Right. And we've talked about this before, too. Kids don't understand what it's like. You know, they don't understand if you're kicking your cat or dog or something like that. Or, you know, they don't know any better because they've never been trained or taught anything like that. So throwing rocks at animals, stuff like that, until you realize, hey, guess what? That's a living creature there, and it's going to feel some pain if that rock hits them.
That's right. They often just don't think about it, never thought about it. And as soon as you kind of question them, you know, getting them to think about it, again, that light bulb goes off, and they're like, wow, I just didn't realize what I was doing was making the cat scared. I don't want to make a cat scared. And then they think about it a little bit differently in the future.
Yeah, turn it around. How would you feel if someone's throwing rocks at you? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Nicole Forsyth. She is the president and CEO of Red Rover. RedRover.org is the website. So, Nicole, if I want to adopt a classroom so students have access to Kind News Magazine, how do I go about doing that?
Yeah, so another really exciting expansion of our Red Rover Readers program has been a magazine for kids.
Nice.
And this is a really easy way if teachers haven't had a chance yet to take our online training course or in-person training to become a Red Rover Readers trained educator. They can just start by using the Kind News Magazine. It's very inexpensive. But again, even though it's only $30 for a year classroom subscription, where every kid gets a copy of the magazine, even that can be a strain. So what we do is we have donors out there who will adopt a classroom. So
nice.
For $30, you basically are giving a message to an entire classroom for a year. They get 5 issues a year, so they get a constant reminder that it's okay to be kind.
Sure. Oh, I love that too. And it's only $30 to sponsor a classroom for a whole year. I'm going to log on to the website right now. All right, Nicole, I've been a big fan of Red Rover for a long time now. Tell me all about what's going on with the Restricted Adventures of Raja.
Yes, so we have our last book in that series, which was really exciting to finish up. That's Raja Book 3. It's available at the Apple iTunes, and it's also on Google Play and Amazon.
You mean there's an app for that?
There's an app for that, yes. Yes, we decided that because our education program is something educators and teachers have to be trained how to do, instead of having everybody have to get trained, we thought, let's put it in an app. So it's really easy to download. Book 1 and Book 2 are free, The Restricted Adventures of Raja, and it shows what the program is like. So it's a story about a cat who's anthropomorphized, lives on another planet, comes to Earth in the form of an actual cat, and so he's stuck acting like a cat. So kids learn the behaviors of cats, but this cat really wants to help these human beings on Earth. And
sure.
So it's an adventure story inspiring kids to want to do good and sort of save the world. And in the process, he learns animal behavior. You learn about about how others might be feeling in certain situations. So it's a way to practice emotions, how you understand what emotions look like. And then what would you do, you know, if you came across someone who is sad, you know, how would you act? And so it's a book, it's an adventure story, it's a graphic novel, so it's very, very colorful, illustrated, but it has the questions built right into the app. And those questions are the kinds of questions we ask kids, you know, how do you think this animal might be feeling? How would you feel in this situation? And it's really just ways to practice empathy.
I love it. And they can find out more about the Restricted Adventures of Raja at redrover.org. All right, Nicole, someone's getting up early on a Sunday morning. They're just pouring their first cup of coffee. And they're like, what are they talking about? So if someone's not familiar with Red Rover, tell us all about the programs you offer.
Yeah, so Red Rover is kind of like the American Red Cross for animals. We
love
really
it.
Specialize in helping animals in a crisis, but especially when people and animals are in crisis together. So it could be a natural disaster. It could be domestic violence. It could be a veterinary emergency where people can't afford to pay for it. But we also are really there to try to prevent abuse and neglect and cruelty in the first place by helping kids at a really young age understand animal behavior, understand how they might be feeling, and practice those steps to empathy for both people and animals as a way to prevent abuse and neglect.
And one of the reasons I'm glad you're here this morning, too, is that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Red Rover's got some tremendous domestic violence assistance programs.
Yes. Yeah, so we are there to help when a survivor can't leave because they're afraid of what's going to happen to their pets when they get left behind.
Sure.
Only 10% of domestic violence shelters allow pets, and often the pets are used in the control and manipulation within the abuse itself. So it's really important for people to leave, take their pets with them. It's less likely they'll go back if they can take their pets.
Right.
Sometimes they don't even realize when they leave that the pets are suddenly used and for the abuse. They'll say, if you don't come back, I'm going to harm the pet, not feed the pet, kill the pet, bring the pet to the shelter.
Right.
There's all sorts of ways they can use that pet and, you know, manipulate that bond that we have, which is just devastating to hear about.
Domestic violence situation is bad enough, but then all of a sudden you start threatening, not the kids, I mean, they're, you know, but the animals themselves. I mean, that's, like you said, I mean, that just brings a tear to my eye thinking that, you know, you are leaving a violent situation and now you have to worry about what's going to happen to your pet. So what you guys are doing to keep domestic violence victims and their animals together is just tremendous. And there are still a few states that don't have pet-friendly domestic violence shelters. I know you guys are working on that.
Yes, we've got Mississippi, West Virginia, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Hawaii still do not have a domestic violence shelter in their states that accepts pets. We think a few of them are pretty close, so we're hoping by 2020, every state is going to have at least one domestic violence shelter that accepts pets. And on October 15th,
this Tuesday.
October 15th is our deadline for domestic violence shelters to apply for one of our grants, and these grants help them become pet friendly. So it's a really easy application. If you know a domestic violence shelter in West Virginia, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Hawaii, or Mississippi, encourage them to apply.
Absolutely. I love it. And you guys do a lot of work locally with Stand Up Placer. How's that relationship working?
Oh, it's fantastic. I personally got to see what the shelter was like, and it's set up so well where part of it is pet friendly and part of it is not. So that way, if there is someone who's afraid of animals, they don't necessarily have to interact. So it's just heartwarming. The first time I walked into a room and saw, on the human beds, they had quilts made for the people with a nice handwritten note that said, welcome. And then they had a similar gift set for the pets where there was toys and dog treats. And it also said, welcome. And my eyes started welling up, you know, thinking from the perspective of a survivor. If you walked into that room knowing you finally had someone who got it, who understood what you were going through and was there to help you, gets me.
Yeah, what a warm, welcoming feeling. Absolutely. Yeah, and Jenny Davidson from Stand Up Placer, I know you guys do a lot of work together. We've done a fundraiser or two together, and it's such a no-brainer, too, now that you think about it. But in the past, if you're a victim of domestic violence, obviously you're going to get your kids. You're going to hopefully grab a couple of valuables and you got to get out of the door. And the pet was always kind of an afterthought. What a ridiculously tough decision that would be to stay in that situation or to leave without your pet. So the fact that you guys are offering options to where you don't have to make that decision, you can leave with your pet. I can't even tell you. I mean, that's just tremendous. You guys are doing some great work.
Thank you.
All right, Nicole, tell me about what you have going on with the Purple Leash Project.
So this October for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we are really stepping up with our Purple Leash Project, bringing even more awareness to this incredible project that we have going on with Purina. And this really is about awareness, building awareness that domestic violence survivors have this, where you know they have pets often, many have pets, and they're used in the abuse. And so it's really important for them to leave with their pets.
Right.
So we are challenging everyone to take the lead, take a photo of you with your pet, share it on social media, tag Red Rover, tag Purina, use the hashtag Purple Leash Project, and you know, share some statistics. Only 10% of domestic violence shelters allow pets. One in four people will experience, one in four women and one in one in three women and one in four men will experience domestic violence in their lifetime.
Sure.
That is a shocking statistic. And I believe it because people sometimes are in relationships and they don't even realize they're being controlled and manipulated. It may not be physical. It can be emotional, psychological abuse. If you have someone who's constantly criticizing you, using the pet to, you know, kind of threatening the pet, saying, well, if you, you know, you love the pet more than me, or I'm going to take this pet to the shelter if you don't, blah, blah, blah. It's often a very subtle type of abuse. And so we want to really build awareness to someone who might be in a relationship that's abusive and they don't even know it. So take the lead, share this information, share that pets are often used in abuse, and that so few domestic violence shelters can accept pets, and we want to change that. And with people's help, we can do that.
Yeah.
So use the hashtag Purple Leash Project. Challenge your friends to do the same and start sharing like crazy on social media.
And if someone's listening right now and they are in an abusive situation and they're afraid of leaving because they don't want to leave their pet behind, please check out the website, redrover.org. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Nicole Forsyth is the president and CEO of Red Rover. Redrover.org is the website. And I'm going to read this one more time. Bringing animals and their people from crisis to care, Red Rover helps animals rescued from disasters or neglect, domestic violence victims seeking safety with their pets, and animals with life-threatening illnesses using innovative solutions to prevent cruelty. Thank you so much for being here, Nicole.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The Public File. If you'd like us to help get the word out about your nonprofit event, send the details to sacpsa@entercom.com, sacpsa@entercom.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Have a great Sunday, and thanks for listening.